The Health Wealth Divide, Part 5 of 6, Connectedness. She had 400 people at her birthday party. She flew them in, she put them up, open bar, live music, chef-driven, everything. Her husband gave a toast that made people cry. She cried too. 3 days later, she called me and said she felt completely alone. I wasn't surprised. I've heard versions of this story before. The dinner party, no one wants to leave. The celebration, run like a production. The philanthropy gala, where everyone wants a photo. And then, silence. It's a specific kind of loneliness, being surrounded and unseen. The pillar that got bigger. The American College of Lifestyle Medicine just changed something. For years, the sixth pillar of lifestyle medicine was called social connection. This year, they renamed it connectedness. That's not a small edit. It's an admission that the old word was too small. Connection is not just about having people around you. It reaches beyond your social network into something broader. Your relationship with yourself, with other people, and with the world around you. Researchers working at the intersection of lifestyle medicine and psychiatry have mapped 6 domains of connectedness. Some overlap, but that is part of the point. Together, they sit within 3 core needs: connection to yourself, connection to others, and connection to the world. Connectedness to yourself. Connection to self comes first. You cannot be genuinely known by someone else if you don't know yourself. The first domain is happiness, but not the kind you perform at a dinner party. The quieter, internal kind matters more. Research suggests that lasting well-being comes less from peak experiences than from small, repeated moments of joy. There are 2 broad forms of happiness. Hedonia is pleasure, sex, chocolate, a first-class upgrade, thrill being recognized at the door. There's nothing wrong with any of it, but it fades. Eudaimonia is different. It is meaning, contribution, sacrifice for something larger than yourself, a life well-lived. This kind of happiness has more staying power. It's associated with lower depressive symptoms and greater resilience over time. The second domain is purpose and meaning. This is the thing that gets you out of bed when nothing is forcing you to. A focus beyond the self. Viktor Frankl said it was essential to human flourishing. People with a clear sense of purpose tend to have lower rates of depression, better cognitive function as they age, and faster recovery after adversity. Here's what surprises most people. Only 8% of happiness comes from income, marital status, religion, and education. Much more of it lives in the quality of your relationships, not your net worth, not your title, how close you actually are to the people in your life. Connectedness to others. The third domain is empathy. Empathy is not just a personality trait. It's a biological process and a trainable skill, which means it can also weaken. There's a reason wealth and narcissism sometimes appear together in the research. Not because wealthy people are born deficient, but because the environment can distort character over time. When people defer to you, when problems get solved by writing a check, when you rarely have to sit with discomfort that is not optional, the empathy muscle can atrophy. Self-compassion matters here too. It supports the parasympathetic nervous system and the neurobiology of safety and bonding, but you can't buy your way into it. It appears when things go wrong and you stay present instead of fleeing. This is how you treat yourself when life falls apart. And here is the hard truth. You can't truly extend warmth outward if you are at war with yourself inside. The performance of empathy is not the same as feeling it. The fourth is social connection and community. The quality of your relationships, not the quantity. The Harvard Grant study, spanning 80 years, found that the single most important factor in lifelong happiness was not career success or social status. It was the depth of relationships. Social support also helps buffer trauma, including PTSD. At the same time, we're living through a loneliness epidemic and a distrust epidemic, despite being more connected than ever through digital tools. Some of that distrust may be driven by consumer culture, which teaches us to purchase the appearance of belonging instead of doing the slower work of building real friendship. Even pets play a meaningful role here. Many households rely on animals for emotional connection, and those bonds often mirror caregiving attachments. Music helps people feel closer to one another, connectedness to the world. The fifth domain is nature, not a view from behind glass, not a house framed around a mountain, the actual experience of being outside. Forest bathing, Shinrin-yoku, is the Japanese practice of calming the nervous system through immersion in nature, whether through walking a trail, gardening, or simply being among trees. Lifestyle medicine practitioners now prescribe it. The sixth domain is spirituality, what some researchers call the vertical relationship. This is connection to something transcendent. It does not require religion, but it does require the willingness to believe in something larger than yourself. That might take the form of prayer, meditation, chanting, sacred reading, journaling, art, music, yoga, service, or a 12-step program. Different practices, same essential movement, out of self-absorption and into reverence, humility, and perspective. This matters because a social life alone is not enough. Lifestyle medicine now defines connectedness as feeling part of something larger than yourself, feeling close to another person or group, and feeling welcomed and understood. The last word does a lot of work, understood. Money can put people in the room. It can't make them see you. The connection paradox. Here's what you would expect. Wealth should make connection easy. The access is obvious. You can fly anyone, anywhere, host anything, support causes that gather rooms full of like-minded people, build a life that looks from the outside like one long dinner party. Unlimited social opportunity, constant company, a full calendar. So why are so many wealthy people quietly starving for real connection? An ancient Greek physician, Herophilus, said it plainly, when health is absent, wisdom cannot reveal itself, art cannot become manifest, strength cannot be exerted, wealth is useless, and reason is powerless. He was not talking about connection specifically, but he understood something we keep forgetting. Wealth is downstream of everything that actually matters. Real relationships do not respond to money. They respond to time, risk, humility, and showing up without your armor. The distortions. One, you can't buy your way into being really known. When you have money, you can never be fully sure why people are in the room. Are they here for me or for what I can do for them? That is not paranoia. In many settings, it's a reasonable question. But over time, that question hardens into guarding. You stop letting people in. The protection makes sense. The cost is enormous. Loneliness is not just painful, it's dangerous. It carries health risks comparable to smoking 15 cigarettes a day. It increases the risk of stroke, heart disease, dementia, and suicide. The former U.S. Surgeon General called it an epidemic, not a feeling. Wealthy people are not exempt. In some ways, they may be more vulnerable because the guard never fully comes down. Performing connection is not the same as feeling safe inside it. Stewardship move? Brené Brown's BRAVING, B-R-A-V-I-N-G acronym, is a quiet roadmap for this. Boundaries, reliability, accountability, vault, meaning you keep what people share with you, integrity, non-judgment, generosity of spirit. Real trust is built slowly through all seven. Stop adding contacts. Start going deeper with the people already in your life. Find someone who sees you, not your name, not your family, not your foundation. One honest conversation at a time. Two, your lifestyle is isolating by design. Private planes, private clubs, private schools, private everything. Each one makes sense on its own. Together, they remove you from the ordinary friction where human connection often forms. The checkout line, the waiting room, the neighborhood walk, the room where nobody cares what you are worth. The richest forms of connection often require showing up as a regular human being, a 12-step meeting, a volunteer group, a hiking trail where everyone is equally muddy. Social networks do more than provide companionship. They shape behavior. Over time, your relationships influence how you eat, drink, move, cope, and live. Stewardship move? Go somewhere nobody knows what you're worth. Go regularly. Let yourself be ordinary. 3, you came for the nature and then you built over it. A few years ago, a friend showed me his dream house in Costa Rica. It sat above the Pacific. The view was extraordinary. He was generous, warm, and genuinely kind. But as he walked me through the plans, full air conditioning, American-style construction, not a tree left standing on the lot, he told me he had also bought 75 acres of forest inland. He was planning to build 50 houses. Not long before that, he had said, "The rat race in the U.S. is so unhealthy." I wanted to say, "You're bringing it with you." Instead, I asked whether it was necessary to develop the forest. "I need to," he said, "to pay for this house." This is the nature distortion in its purest form. Wealthy people seek out extraordinary places and then build in ways that destroy the very thing they came for. The view replaces the relationship. The house replaces belonging. But connection to nature is not a view, it's a biological need. Stewardship move? Stop destroying nature. Go into it without your phone. Leave the view. Enter the thing itself. 4, you've learned to perform connection instead of feel it. High-achieving families often teach connection as a social skill. Make eye contact, ask good questions, send the thank you note, show up at the funeral. All good. None of it is the same as being close to someone. Empathy and compassion are not techniques. They are capacities that must be developed. Real empathy is not scripted. It cannot be faked for long, and certainly not in the way the other person does not feel. When connection becomes something you do correctly rather than something you risk, it stays in the head. It never lands in the body. And most of my wealthy clients edit themselves constantly. It's the water they swim in. You cannot be edited and known at the same time. Stewardship move? Say the true thing to one person this week, not the polished version, the true one. 5, you've optimized meaning out of your life. Many high performers reach a strange threshold. I've done everything right, work, family, friends, I figured it out, so why do I feel stuck? Because achievement is not the same as meaning. Bill Burnett and Dave Evans have spent decades at Stanford helping people design lives they actually want to live. They say a meaningful life is built from wonder, coherence, flow, and community. Wonder requires slowing down enough to be surprised. Coherence requires honesty about what you actually value. And then flow requires absorption in something you love. And community requires letting people actually see you. All 4 are available to anyone. All 4 are easily undermined by wealth. When every minute is managed, wonder disappears. When identity becomes performative, coherence erodes. When convenience removes struggle, flow gets replaced by passive consumption. And when status defines the room, community thins out. Purpose is not a luxury, it's a pillar. Wealth creates a special vulnerability here. When you can solve most problems with money, you can accidentally buy your way out of the very experiences that generate meaning. Sacrifice, difficulties, service, endurance, and devotion to something that does not immediately pay off. Many people climb the first mountain beautifully and they arrive at the top only to find it hollow. The second mountain, the one that comes after material success, is built from meaning, not money. That is not failure, it's an invitation. So stewardship move, ask yourself, which you have let go of? Wonder, coherence, flow, or community? 6, you've replaced God with your portfolio. Spirituality is the quietest domain in connectedness, and probably the one wealthy people most often substitute with something else. Connection to something transcendent can come through religion, contemplative practice, time in nature, recovery, service, or simply sitting with mystery. But it requires humility. You don't have to believe in God, but you do have to believe in something larger than yourself and what you own. At its worst, wealth becomes its own religion. the portfolio as proof of value, the house as proof of worth, the party as proof of love. None of these hold. Stewardship move? Find a practice that makes you feel small in a good way. The invisible risk. Wealth makes connection feel purchasable. You can hire a therapist, a coach, a retreat center, a dinner party planner. You can fly people in. You can build a house above the ocean. And when you still feel alone, which you will if the connection stays surface level, you are left with a particular kind of despair. I was supposed to be able to fix this. But the real thing is different. It's the work. The 12 steps, not just the meeting, the old friend, the forest you walk into without your phone, the song you play on your piano, the practice that makes you feel small and open to wonder, the true thing you finally say out loud. Connection to self comes first. The research is clear on this. You can't be genuinely known by others if you don't know yourself. And you can't connect to the world if you're moving too fast to feel any of it. Wealth does not change what human beings need in order to connect. It simply makes it easier to buy the appearance of connection while avoiding the real thing. The stewardship move is simple, but not easy. Slow down enough to be found. Next in the series, avoiding toxic substances, why wealth makes it easier to self-medicate and harder to stop. If this episode landed for you, share it with someone who might need to hear it. And if you haven't already, subscribe so you don't miss what's coming. But here's the real thing I want you to know. If you're carrying something you can't talk about, if you have every resource except someone who actually understands what wealth costs, I work one-on-one with people like you navigating exactly that. You can reach me at DianaOehrli.com. Thanks for listening.